Out in the middle of nowhere, secrets seem to thrive. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another video. Today we're going to be sharing some creepy and allegedly true middle of nowhere horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a middle of nowhere story or something completely different, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net. or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going on a daily basis. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy and downright strange, allegedly true, middle of nowhere horror stories. Last night, my boyfriend and I were driving home from Universal Studios in Orlando. We were rerouted a way home we have never gone before, and have been traveling in basically the middle of nowhere for quite some time. My boyfriend's speedometer is broken on his car, and he must press the gas button to reset the miles after he gets gas. This will be especially important soon. We are driving on a deserted road in the middle of absolutely nowhere, with not one car in sight. My boyfriend realized we had hit the 130-mile mark on his odometer. We needed gas, but there was not one gas station in sight. I put the search for gas stations nearby, and we found one. It turned out to be closed. In a hurry, we found another gas station 5 minutes or so up the road. This is where the story begins to get very weird. My boyfriend thought he closed his gas cap, and we are once again driving along this deserted road in the middle of nowhere. We heard a loud bang and he realized he forgot to put the gas cap back on, so we are driving around the dark looking for the gas cap. He finally pulls over and realizes somehow the gas cap is still attached to the car. We get back on track and get to another gas station. Out of nowhere, I had a horrible thought about something going wrong at that gas station. I pushed it aside because I knew he needed gas and AAA is not really an option where we're at. We get to this gas station and the lights are kind of on. They're incredibly dim. This road literally leads to a dead end with a gas station on it. The only way to leave this area was to turn left or go straight out of the gas station. My boyfriend got out of the car to see if we could get gas, and the feeling intensified. I have literally never felt that in my entire life. My stomach dropped into my butt. I have been in very disturbing situations, such as almost being kidnapped twice, being followed home, watching someone being taken away in a body bag after being hit by a car, and even a couple of paranormal situations. I can talk about this sometime in the future, but I have never felt like this before. I saw a white car pulling up the road. Keep in mind, there is literally no one on this road and we haven't seen a single soul all night. He pulls up and notices my boyfriend and backs up with his windows down. I found this pretty strange, because my boyfriend has a very nice sports car, and my mind immediately went to panic mode. Maybe I was just paranoid at that point, I don't know. I started screaming his name, and the man realized that someone else was in the car, me, and turned left and sped off. Sadly, I didn't get his license plate because of how dark it was. The situation frightened me more than anybody can imagine. It may not seem too scary, but it is easily one of the most terrifying things to watch because I didn't know if I was going to witness my boyfriend being robbed at gunpoint or something like that. The feeling and thought I had just 10 minutes earlier are what also made the situation even more creepy to me. We found a gas station with actual human life around, and we made it home safe and sound. Once I got home, my dad told me that that road we were driving on was famous for many bodies being found on it. I hope no one ever gets put in this situation. Be safe out there, my friends. I live somewhere in upstate Pennsylvania, McKean County to give a generalization. Now, I have multiple stories that I could say, and since they are all short, I will try to tell them all. Well, this first incident happened a while back. I was probably about 10 or 11 years old, and it was about 11 p.m. I was trying to get to bed because of a science test I had the next day, and was trying to get to sleep. Remember the keyword at 11 p.m. This house is extremely quiet, and if you wanted to, you could drop a pin on my kitchen floor and hear it. Well, I am lying in bed, and suddenly, I hear a quick, "Bryce," from outside of my room. This was at the point where I was still scared of the dark and slept with a nightlight. I didn't really close my door either at night. I listened again, and nothing came for the rest of the night, and I eventually fell asleep. That is not the end of the story, though. The next day, I was in my science class taking my test. The room is again extremely quiet. I hear the "Bryce" from the whispering voice from somewhere. I look up and look around. Everyone is busy doing their test, and no one else seemed to hear it. The interesting part of the story, though, was that weekend, I was at my grandma's, and I told her all about it. She said my cousin had been hearing the same thing. I do not know if I was hearing things or if it was a ghost, but if so, I believe it is gone now. This next story happened to me when I was a bit younger. I own 30 acres of land, and some of it has logging roads, and I'm a bit of a hiking freak, and I like making forts and stuff like that. So it was normal for me to be outside, and being out in the middle of nowhere had its perks. Well, I had just started my trek up the hill when I stopped to take a quick break. I sat down and laid my pellet rifle across my lap when I heard the screams of my sister and brother. They were screaming my name. I heard it twice in a row, if I remember correctly. I screamed back, but there was no response. Now let me put into perspective where I was. I was above a dirt road, which was probably a couple of hundred feet from my house. I could not see down this dirt road or up it either, so I had no idea if anyone was actually there. After screaming "what" a few times and getting no response, I started moving downhill when a sound stopped me dead in my tracks. Running. Not normal running. Fast-paced, heavy-footed running. This was not something my brother or my sister was capable of. Fear struck over me, for I could not see what was running up the dirt road. After a minute, the running stopped. I slowly made my way downhill. I made it to my house, and my mom was in the living room. I asked, "What?" And she looked at me puzzled and asked what I wanted. I said someone was calling my name. It sounded like my sister and brother, not saying their actual names. Then, the most chilling words came from my mother's mouth. "Your sister and brother are in their rooms. They haven't been outside all day." There is one more scary event that happened to me when I was younger as well. I believe I was about 5 years old at the time. One morning I woke up at maybe 5 or 6 a.m. I was scared to get out of bed though. There were large, heavy-footed noises coming from outside my house. Remember, we live out in the middle of nowhere surrounded by woods and hills. These were not human footsteps though. They sounded so large, like maybe the feet of an angry Bigfoot. Why do I say angry Bigfoot? There is a legend around my town. It's called the Card Creek Monster, or something like that. I've looked around, and I haven't found much online, so I don't know what you can find if you look it up either. The only reason I know about it is that there's an article cut out in my grandpa's house. If requested, maybe I can get the story of that legend from them. This happened to me in 2016, but I was having trouble sleeping tonight, and my brain dredged this up from my memories for whatever reason, so I wanted to send it into the show. I had recently moved back to my college town, so I could rent an apartment with a friend after a long-term relationship had recently ended. I was doing a lot of job hunting for pretty much anything as I was desperate for income and unsuccessful finding work within my career field. I was using multiple job sites, but mostly Indeed, because I liked their website features. They help you track which jobs you've applied for and their status. There were, of course, some jobs that I applied for on their own websites, but I kept track. After a couple of weeks of searching, I get a call. I do not recognize the number, and the area code was not very familiar to me, but I picked it up as it might be a job prospect. A woman is on the end, and she says that she is calling to set up an interview as I applied for their company. The company's name was not something I remembered applying for. While on the phone with her, I quickly pulled up Indeed on my laptop and looked through all the jobs I had applied for. None matched. I have no idea what this job is, but I don't want to make this apparent on the phone, as I have been job searching for weeks and I am still unemployed. I asked her for the address of the building and write it down. Looking back, I cannot remember the name she gave me, but I do remember how pushy she was about scheduling an interview for that same evening. I agree to the interview and thank her, but as I hang up, I get an unbelievably bad feeling. Something just does not feel right. I Google the phone number, and it is not linked to any company. I Google the address, and it's also not affiliated with any company. It is from way outside the distance of jobs that I was applying for as well, almost an hour away from where I lived. I pulled up Google Street View, and all I can see for the address she gave me is several smaller rundown buildings with a highway exit in the distance. It looked pretty desolate, in the middle of nowhere even. I pictured myself driving up there around dusk when she scheduled the interview, and I could physically feel this sensation of dread settle in me. I did not want to go. I brought all of this up to my roomie at the time, and he said I might be overthinking it, but if I was not comfortable with it, I should not go. I am so glad that I did not go. The more time passes, the more I am aware of just how shady it was. In hindsight, I wish I had gone to the police, but I did not at the time because the year prior, I had not much faith in them. I had tried to get a restraining order before an ex who was telling me to kill myself and harassing me from burner numbers. Who knows what could have happened if I had gone? It is a scary thought, though. I see all the time, especially locally where I live, of human trafficking busts being made with very similar things. Be safe online, whether it's on job sites, Craigslist, or just signs you see around town that look a little too sketchy. Please, be safe out there. During the early 2000s, when I was attending law school, I worked nights delivering pizza for one of the national chains. I had done something similar when I was younger and attending my local community college. Anytime I found myself sorely in need of quick cash, that avenue was what I would choose. Despite the many stories I have heard questioning the safety of the job, I never had a single run-in with a thief or anything otherwise. I am sure back in the early days it could have been a bit more dangerous, but by the time I joined the game, companies had learned that implementing practices such as limiting the driver to $20 in cash lowered the chances of, you know, holdups and being robbed drastically. Even though I was never a victim of a robbery, I do have one or two scary incidents I could share. The worst of these happened back in the early 2000s. I was awfully familiar with the city I was living in at the time. Moving there after junior college and delivering for several places over the last 5 years had made me very intimate with almost every nook and cranny of this place. However, one evening I would be called to an address that I, nor any of my other drivers, even know existed. When the order came in, I went straight to the map to find the address. But it was not there. Not even the GPS on my phone showed it. We did not have any no delivery areas at the time, so I had to take it despite my misgivings. Theoretically, the place would have existed if the road continued for 10 more blocks. So I turned on to said road, and a block before it is ending, and followed it south. Sure enough, a newly paved road began where the old one should have ended. For what seemed like miles, I continued on this new section of road. Nothing stood on either side of the road, and I did not seemingly pass another car the entire time. How the state managed to build it without a single report of its creation leaking to the media had me absolutely bewildered. The 5 years that I had been driving all over the city, I had not known this part existed. In one way, I was overly excited seeing all of it, like a Victorian explorer tracing the source of the Nile. But at the same time, a deserted road popped up out of nowhere. This gave me a chill down my spine. It must have been a good 10 minutes before the house in question appeared in the distance. I could not understand for the life of me why someone would build a house out here in the middle of nowhere with no way to really reach it. When I got closer, I could see the house had to be at least 50 years old or more, and probably had not been repaired since then. No cars were around, and for a moment, I thought the house was abandoned. But I could see the front door wide open behind the rickety old screen. Everything looked to be above board, so I grabbed the pizza and headed for the door. I knocked on the screen door but got no answer. I could see what appeared to be a young female walking around the kitchen. When I knocked a second time, I heard a female voice say to come in. Despite my reservations, I stepped just inside the house and waited in the small foyer. I had learned from the other drivers early on not to enter an unfamiliar house, but I had yet to see anything to concern me. I assumed the woman would be coming out soon to pay me. Instead, I overheard an unseen man whisper, "Call him into the kitchen." When I heard that, I fled from the place as fast as I could. I was so freaked out, I got back to the restaurant in half the time it took me to get to the house. After I told my boss what had happened, he called the police. All the excitement had me rattled, so my boss sent me home for the day. My phone rang a few hours later. It was the police. They had called me to let me know what they had found. Whoever had been there was gone now, even though the place had more than likely been abandoned for a while. They did find evidence that people had just recently been inside. This was stuff my boss had already told them. However, they did shed light on where the road came from and why the house was the only building on this deserted road. The state had been trying to purchase the land on which the new section of road and the house were on for 20-something years, but the landowner would not sell. They even tried to use eminent domain to get it, but a judge blocked it. Around 2 years before the owner had passed away, his children finally sold the land to the state. They were so happy to get the land after all that time, the construction on the road was started immediately. It technically had yet to be formally opened, but locals had already begun using it anyway. This was good to know, but I still wondered how the two people knew about the empty house sitting out in the middle of nowhere. This was something the officer did not quite know. We can only assume they drove past it and decided it would be a good place as any to ambush a delivery driver. Even $20 is a good score if you're desperate enough, I guess. He said from personal experience, people had definitely killed for much less. The officer left me with one good piece of news, though. The county had slated the old house to be demolished in the coming weeks, so no other poor delivery driver would be let out there to be robbed, or maybe even worse. 2 days later, I was driving down the brand new road, which I was now using as a shortcut to cut across town, and witnessed the house destruction. A load was being lifted from my shoulders right before my eyes. Never again would I have to enter a customer's home, or even deliver to an area in which I was not very well versed. Perhaps in the future, I will share my other story. While not as harrowing, it was still scary, nonetheless. So, I am a female, and this happened when I was young, probably about 14 years old. My life had gone haywire, and I did not spend a lot of time at home. My parents had filed for divorce, during which time my mother had kind of lost it and had allowed me to do pretty much whatever I wanted, since she was going through a pretty rough time on her own. Then, my dad suddenly moved back in, and that all became different. Everything came to a screeching halt. I honestly was not too cool with it, so my reaction naturally was to stay gone doing whatever I wanted to, anyway, as much as possible, which ended up getting me literally thrown out of the house permanently, but that is a whole other story. So I had two friends that I hung out with normally that were about 4 years older than me and had just graduated high school. At the time, I think I was still lying to them about how old I actually was. They were both 18 and I told them I was 16 when I was only 14. Anyway, we planned a camping trip without any definite destination, but being that we lived in Colorado Springs, the mountains and vast possibilities for potential camping spots were pretty much a hop, skip, and a jump away. So we headed west into the mountains into two separate vehicles, and with several other people, one of which was this gigantic guy that I did not like much, but we always kept him around for some reason. He always gave me the creeps, and since this guy was like 25 years old or more, and this probably happened about 25 years ago at this point, I cannot honestly remember his name, so we will call him Brian. About halfway up this mountain, one of my two friends realizes she left something important back home and needs to turn back to go retrieve it. Me and my other friend, and our carload of people, including Brian, continue our way up. We make it to the middle of nowhere in the mountains, and still have no clue where we are going to camp. So, we are wandering around the woods on dirt roads with civilization a distant memory. Our car eventually breaks down, and to make matters worse, right around this time it begins to rain. But since we were already prepared to camp, that is what we were going to do. Brian is sitting with us the next morning and pulls out a handgun and says he stole it from the parents of one of the girls that is using the vehicles. Brian goes from being creepy to being downright scary, because not only does this guy seem to have a noticeably short fuse, but now we also know he is armed with a deadly weapon and we are stranded in the middle of nowhere with him. So we all decided, without Brian, that we would just watch what we say to this guy and try to keep him from blowing a fuse. All of us are now muddy and dirty from setting up tents in the rain on the side of the road. We decided we should not just sit here and hope that the other caravan returns. We pack up our gear and get back on the road and wait for someone to actually find us and pass us. Eventually, we realize that not a soul was going to pass us. So we start walking, all four of us, and all of our camping gear is on our backs, until we make it to a paved road. After an hour or two, a truck finally comes into view on the highway, and we all flag them down. We explain what was happening, and we ask for a ride to a phone. The guy was gracious and loads us all into his truck with our gear and everything. We finally make it to a phone and call our friend, who tells us for some reason, I cannot remember now, that she decided just to not go with us and stay in town. But she does agree to come where we are and pick us up. When we all finally make it back, the friend that came to get us said she had all spoken to the girl whose parents Brian had stolen the gun from, who had been in her car, and she told her that Brian had gone on the camping trip with us because he had shot and killed someone with that gun, and he was trying to hide out. I imagine that had been the actual reason for her deciding not to come, but it had also left the rest of us stranded in the middle of nowhere with a serial killer still armed with his murder weapon. Thankfully, though, we all finally made it back to civilization, unscathed, alive, and I believe the guy did end up being arrested a short time after that. But man, did I realize I had literally been stranded in the middle of nowhere with a murderer for 3 days. It hit me like a ton of bricks. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true middle-of-nowhere horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton in the YouTube algorithm. If you're listening on iTunes or another podcast platform, be sure to rate the show 5 stars as that helps me out even more. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day in all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you'd like to share in a future video, whether it's from the middle of nowhere or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that truly help keep this show going on a daily basis. Once again, submit your story at swampdweller.net. I'd love to know down in the comments below what story tonight was your favorite. I'd have to say that last one might be my favorite, simply because how scary would it be to be out in the middle of nowhere camping with a serial killer and not have a clue? I also think it's kind of shady that the friends just kind of left them out there stranded. Some friends. If you guys would like to support the swamp outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out the merch store. I've everything from face masks, hoodies, t-shirts, socks, and much more. It helps out the channel a ton. If you guys are on the road and don't have YouTube Premium but still want to listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories no matter where you are, you can do so and download them absolutely free from iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. As always, it's absolutely free, and always will be. Thank you guys so much for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this on a daily basis without you guys. It's insane to see how much this show has grown over the past year. I hope 2021 is going to be a great year not just for the show, but for everyone here dwelling in the swamp. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.